Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody who is joining us online, Facebook, YouTube. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Church. We are a Christian Bible-based church in West Philadelphia. Amen. Amen. The Word of God is what is preached here. Amen. Amen. And for all of you who are at home, this is our first Sunday of the month, meaning it is our communion Sunday. So for the items that you have set aside and prayed over, get those things together and set aside. Before we start with the communion part of our service, we are going to be blessed with a selection from our Taylor Tabernacle singers. Amen, 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 amen. So let us get ourselves prepared. Let us enjoy the celebratory music and get ready for the Word of God. Amen. Amen.
I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do, 'cause I need you more and more. I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do, 'cause I need you more and more.
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 More and more. I'm chasing that. No matter what I have to do, 'cause I need you more and more. I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do, 'cause I need you more and more.
More and more.
More. I'm praising my way through, just to be closer to you. I'm chasing after you.
Sing more and more.
More and more.
Sing more.
Amen. The Word of God says, make a joyful noise. And that means a noise that comes from the heart. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's not a performance. It's singing from your heart. Amen. 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 We are going to get started with our communion service. And so what we're going to have one after the other is first I'm going to read our scripture, which is in 1 Corinthians 11. Then after that, Sister Barbara's going to come up and we are going to go through our confession of faith. And then finally, Deacon Abrams is going to come up and pray over the sacraments. And then we're going to place that service in the hands of our pastor. Amen. Amen. So since we are about to read God's word, can we all stand? And our communion scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reads as follows. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Amen? Amen.
Please repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Let us pray. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and a cross for me. Eternal and all-wise God, maker of the heavens and of the earth, we thank you for keeping us and allowing us to see one more first Sunday. The Sunday that we set aside to remember your great sacrifice. For you said that no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. For I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. So as we ready our hearts and we ready our minds to observe this Lord's Supper, we ask you to bless it, sanctify this bread and this wine to the souls of all who will receive it, that we may eat and drink in remembrance of the body and blood of your Son. So we ask that you search us, know our heart, remove anything that will cause us to partake in an unworthy manner. For it is in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.
Good morning and God bless you. And we are going to prepare for communion. Going to invite those who are in the vestibule, feel free to enter the sanctuary at this time. Just want to take a moment to make sure everyone has sacraments. If there is anyone without a sacrament, feel free to just raise your hand. At the same time, we want to give those who are joining us virtually, pray that you have set aside something to serve as a sacrament for you on this Communion Sunday, both bread and wine. And so if you have that, we're going to go ahead and let's expose the wafer. If you have it, let's lift it unto the Lord. Scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, and as they were keeping the Passover, that he took bread, and that as was his custom, he blessed it. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said these words, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you, and I say the same also to you." After that same manner, he also took the cup of thanksgiving, looking at his disciples, he said, "This represents the new covenant, the new agreement between you and God. It represents and is symbolized by my blood, which is to be shed for the remission of sins." He took the cup and gave it to them and said, "Drink ye all of it." Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Thank you for the great sacrifice of your bruised and broken body. Thank you for the sacrifice of your shed blood. For by it, you have redeemed us from the marketplace of sin and has caused us now to become the children of God. And so we thank you for your great sacrifice. And our prayer this Lord's Sunday morning is that we never forget what you have done for us and for all of those that love your name and long for your appearance. So sanctify us by and through your word. Keep us by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, and cause us not to be conformed to this world, but transform us into the image and likeness of yourself, so that one day we might be able to stand not on our own, but with robes in white that cover our sin, that cover our wickedness, and cause us to stand before the Father faultless and without sin. So we thank you again. We praise you again. And we give your name all of the glory. God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Thank God for those entering through the sanctuary. Thank you. Thank you for coming out on another Communion Sunday. Thank you for your participation in the communion. Thank you for your obedience to how we receive and handle communion. We thank you for it. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to look at an interesting passage out of the Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. Mark, the 7th chapter. If you need a Bible or in need of the Word of God, feel free to just slip your hand up in the air. Thank God for our ushers who are serving today. Thank God for our greeters who are serving today. Amen. Thank God for our worship leaders and our worship team and all of those who are participating in today's service. Again, our text will be Mark 7, verses 1 through 23. And we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 5. Amen. If you have those verses, I am going to invite you to stand with me that we might read the word of God together. Let's not read it together. It's a lot. I was thinking about reading it together, but 23 verses, that's a lot to do in unison. So y'all get a pass this Sunday. I'll carry the weight. You can definitely follow along in your Bible. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Versions. Again, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. And we'll add to the witness out of the Old Testament, the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, referring to Christ, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, such as the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things that you do.' He said to them, 'All too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, by your traditions, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, meaning a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Verse 14, then he called the multitude to himself, and he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. And so he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but rather his stomach, and is thus eliminated, therefore purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. Amen. Let's add to the witness Genesis 6 and 5. Flip over to that, back in the Old Testament, the book of beginnings. And it simply says, now this is the period of time after Adam and Eve, and go through the genealogies of all the men, the early men of history. And God is displeased by the sin that is occurring in the world. So he says these words, Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay? Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Right? He started with their actions, right? He said their wickedness was great in the earth, their acts, what they were doing. There was great wickedness in there. Then he examined it further. He said, really what's at the root of this is that, look at how he breaks it down. That the intent, not every thought, but the intent of every thought was only evil continually. Now, I don't believe that they thought evil all the time. What is the implication? Even when they thought good things, their heart was set on evil. Right? So it wasn't good in that it was pure. It was good in that it was self-motivated, that somehow it was going to benefit them, even at the expense of someone else. And he said what? Their heart was evil continuously, an unbroken cycle. Right? Look at somebody telling them, we got a heart problem. So this Sunday, coming out of our primary text, Mark 7, I want to talk from the subject, unwashed hands or an unwashed heart. That's what we want to talk about. We want to use this text to help lift that up. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Regular hand washing is one of the best ways to remove germs, avoid getting sick, and to prevent the spreading of germs, like such as COVID-19, to others in our community. Whether you are at home, whether you are at work or traveling, or out in the neighborhood, washing your hands with soap and water can protect you, your family, and countless others. However, in today's text, Mark 7, we are not talking about good hygiene or the dietary practice of hand washing as you and I know it. Rather, the point of contention between Jesus and the Pharisees from Jerusalem was over ceremonial hand washing and what really causes defilement. Okay? So when we read this text and we keep seeing that phrase, unwashed hands, they're not merely talking about washing your hands before you eat. They were talking about it from a ceremonial aspect. Okay? So we note in verse 1 that these Pharisees and scribes, that they've come down from Jerusalem. At this time, in this point in his ministry, Jesus is teaching and working in and around the area of Capernaum. And these men, these religious leaders, come down from the holy city to Jerusalem, and they come to inquire, and they really come to trap Jesus. That's what they really come to lay some traps for him, to see if they could ensnare him, because his popularity is growing exceedingly great. And so when they come down, it said they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, and they found fault. He noticed they couldn't find fault with Jesus, so they looked at those that followed him and saw that they were doing something that was not according to their customs, and the text said they found fault. They found fault because they came looking for fault. They were looking to trap him. They couldn't trap Jesus, so they said, hey, let's trap his boys, you know, and we can still spin it against him. And so they found fault, and when they say they found fault, it is not like that of your mother or your grandmother. When they ask you to come to the dinner table, and before you get there, or sometimes even after you get there, they always ask the resounding question, and that is, have you washed your hands? And if you haven't, you got to drag yourself up and go to the bathroom and wash your hands, because you know you can't sit at mama's table without your what? Hands being washed. And again, this is not what they are referring to. What they are referring to here is a ceremonial rinsing of the hands, which on a basic level did provide some cleanliness to their hands, but moreover, what they were after was that it made the person ceremonially clean and therefore able to eat. So that's what they're talking about, this issue here of unwashed hands. And so this is their tradition. It says this washing had nothing to do with cleaning dirty hands, but rather with a ceremonial rinsing. The ceremony involved someone pouring water over another's hands with their fingers pointed upward. Okay? And after that, then water would be poured over both hands with the fingers pointing downward. Okay. Then each hand would be rubbed with the fist of the other hand. Okay. So they couldn't dry their hands with a towel or a napkin. They had to beat them, or what we might say now, wring them out. Okay. And so what I want to do this morning is just give you a visual demonstration of this ceremonial washing, okay?
I got my faithful assistant here. first time looking at that fingers up. Get that going. And the next time fingers down. Get that going. Like I said, they couldn't use a towel or anything, and they would have to wring their hands or beat their hands, I read, and let them dry in that manner, and then they could eat, okay?
This is what they found fault with the disciples of Jesus. And this tradition, which in the scriptures they refer to as the tradition of the elders, this ceremonial washing is not to be confused with the ceremonial washing that God required of the priest before they rendered service in the temple unto the Lord. The tradition of the elders, this is important, was a body of extra biblical laws and teaching of scripture, which had over time supplanted God's word and law as the highest religious authority in Judaism. Okay? So let me make this is important because everything hinges on this. So the law, which you and I know as the Ten Commandments, which God gave to them on Sinai, that was God's law, God's commandment, his instruction for how his people ought to live and conduct themselves in the earth as it relates to worship to him and their conduct among and with each other. Over time, the priests and the religious leaders had taken God's law and said, okay, here's God's law, okay? And they offered their own interpretation or opinion as to what that law meant and how to apply it to the life of Jewish people, okay? And so God's law says, do not kill. Okay? Well, let me go another way. Do not steal. Right? Over time, the tradition of the elders is people would come to them for understanding what the Word of God says. They would say, okay, the law says do not steal. And you shouldn't. But if you really, really need it, then it's okay. Now, obviously, this is a simplified, dumbed down, inaccurate interpretation, but I'm trying to get you to understand what had happened over time. They diluted the word of God by saying what God meant was, okay? Instead of saying what God meant is exactly what he said. No ands, no ifs, no but. The scripture tells us we're not to add anything to nor take anything from what? The word of God. God meant what he said and said exactly what he meant. Right? But the religious leaders, in an attempt to heighten their status among the people and to please them, began to give their own interpretation of the word of God in such a way that accommodated the feeling and the desire of the people. Okay? Thou shalt not kill. Well, you shouldn't. But if they killed your cat, you I don't think God was saying not if the cat got involved, that changes things. You follow what I'm saying? This is what, again, a simplified version, but this is what had happened over the years. God gave 10 commandments. And I think, I mean, one time I was trying to work to understand this, and I think by the time they had come up to the time of Jesus, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of these new rules or laws put forth by the ruling religious class that people gave more credence to than the Word of God. God had 10 to govern your life throughout all time until we go to heaven. They had now added to it hundreds, thousands of all of these rules and amendments, if you will, not authorized by God, but authorized by themselves, right? That satisfies the heart and the desire of the people, right? Now, we just read out of the witness in Genesis, what? Is that the heart of man is what? Continually evil. Not sometimes, not all week except the Sabbath, you know. Just, it's an unbroken cycle. The evil that is in the heart of man and that is always looking to come out. And so now this religious class now begins to modify the law of God to satisfy the evil and wickedness in the heart of the people. You follow? This is it. You got to get the story. This is it. They're coming at it thinking, no, they're breaking the law. Jesus is getting ready to show them they're not breaking the law. You're the lawbreaker, right? Because you have mishandled and misrepresented the law of God in the ear of the people. Instead of using the Word of God to be the standard to which the lives of the people could come up to, you have now added your tradition and have lowered the standard of God to meet the wickedness of the heart of the people. He says later in the text, and you have made the law of God of none effect. Now it's worthless because of what you have done to it. Are you following me on this? Verse 5, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? What they're really saying is, why do your disciples not follow our laws? Notice they didn't say, why don't your disciples walk according to the commandments of God? They didn't say that. They said, why aren't your disciples, they're not even folks, they're in control, they're Jesus' disciples, but they're saying, why don't your disciples follow what we have said is the order of the day? This is what they're asking Jesus, right? Because it had become normalized by this time. At this point in the Jewish history, the people were more accustomed to following the rules and regulations of the priests than they were of the law of God, right? Watch out for people who modify or negate the Word of God, right? Look at your neighbor and tell him, watch out. Watch out. Because just like our adversary, the devil, some will either come completely again and just say, no, there is no God. But more often what we're finding, especially in this generation, the times in which we're living, they come like the serpent and they modify the Word of God. They don't say there is no God. They just say that their God is this, that, or the other, right? Remind me of someone, right? When the serpent came to Eve, he never nullified what God said. God said, you shall surely die. The serpent just said, I don't think you will die. Look, he just created you. Why would he kill you? God said, you will die. All he did was put a knot in it. That's all he did. He just modified it a little and suggested something that might be more pleasing to the heart of man. Okay? So here it is. This is this, now, this, if you don't get anything, get this. 2 Timothy 2:15, right? If this is not your favorite scripture, it should be. All right? The Word of God says this. Study to show thyself approved. Watch this. Unto God. Not to the priest. Not to the pastor. Not to the girlfriend sitting on your row. Study the Word of God so that you can show yourself approved, validated, given the seal of approval by God. This is in your Bible. If you're not there, turn there. 2 Timothy 2:15. Because you guys looking at me like I'm speaking a strange thing. Study to show thyself approved unto God, right? And I want to prove to God that what? That I am a workman, right? That I follow instructions, that I take what I have heard, what I have learned, what the Holy Spirit has revealed in me, and now I put it into action. I'm a workman. I put to work what I've been taught. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. If you're not there, turn. Study shall I say, under God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right? But rather, what? One who knows how to rightly divide the word of truth. Look at somebody and say, can you handle the word of God? You got to be able to handle the word of God because so many people today are mishandling the word of God, and in their mishandling and misrepresentation of the word of God, they pass it off as the tradition. Well, this is the way we've always done it. Could it be possible that the way you have always done it is in violation of the word of God? And the only way to answer that question is you got to study and know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Some of you may, I make a point out of it when I preach, to have you go to the word of God. I know some people who will sit through the sermon and never turn a page of a Bible. And they sit and they receive whatever the preacher says. So on the one hand, you say, oh, that's great. They're paying attention. That's, yeah, on the one hand, that is great. But also, you got a responsibility. When we come together for the exhortation of the word of God, you and I both have a responsibility. My job is to preach the word of God in context under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Your job is to receive it and verify it first by the word of God, then by the Holy Spirit. Don't let your preacher off the hook by simply nodding your head and saying amen to whatever they say. If it's not, that the word amen means so let it be, means I'm in agreement with what you said. Don't you say amen to something you have not read and the Holy Spirit has not given you understanding as in the Word of God. You will be so easily led astray. Okay? Not every preacher who is preaching the Word of God. So you just can't blame, well, he's a preacher. All right? Look at your neighbor and say, you got a responsibility too. It's not just up to me to labor all week to prepare a message for you to simply sit there and nod to it. Just like I prepared the week before, you got homework the week after. Let me see with what the, that's why I give you the notes. That's why I put the, you've got to go and verify it. Why? So that when you go to another house, you what? You've been properly trained. I know how to handle preaching.
I don't just shake my head. I just don't say amen. I just don't get up and dance to it. No, no. I may do that, but I'm going to go home. I'm going to verify this. I give you an opportunity to do it during the course of the service. Turn the second. Let's go right there now. Read it and know it for yourself. Because if not, you will be not only like this audience here in Mark 7, but like many of the people today. You will follow false doctrine and call it the Word of God. And it's not. And the weight and responsibility is now on you. I discharge my duty to you. I've taught you. I've encouraged you in the Word of God. I encourage you in your prayer life because it is the Holy Spirit that gives illumination, not me. That you can take these working tools that every believer has. The Word of God. The Holy Spirit living inside you. And with those two tools, you can rightly divide the word of truth. With or without a preacher. Are you following what I'm saying? If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. This is the clicker. Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. So then, each of us shall, not maybe, not depending on, but each one of us, you, each one of us shall what? Give an account of him or herself. Watch this. Not to the high priest, not to the pastor. We're going to have to give an account of ourselves unto God. If you're going to have to give him an account, why not do it the way he tells you to do it? So that when you give an account, it is well pleasing unto him. Right? Isn't that the parable of the talents? 5, 2, 1. Regardless of what they were given, each of them had to do what? When the master returned, they had to give an account. Good, bad, they had to give an account. They didn't have to give an account to each other. The guy with the one didn't have to compare himself to the two or the two. No, they had to give an account to the master who had given them the original talent. Do you hear what I'm saying? Each and every one of us. And we will not be able to stand and say, well, your preacher said this, so that's why I lived my life then. The pastor that you gave us taught us this, so that's why I lived in this manner. Never utilize the tools that he gave us. Never utilize the spirit of discernment. What? Another tool he has given you to be able to what? Rightly divide. Rightly divide. Everybody wants to use the spirit of discernment for everything else than what it was intended for. Oh, I got the spirit of discernment. I know you a crook. There's only one way you're going to know I'm a crook. You know how that is? If I steal something of yours. Other than that, you ain't going to know. You follow what I'm saying? That is not a spirit of discernment. That's experience. They're like, oh, yeah, he done got in my bag, so I know he's a crook. You know, that's not discernment. That's I'm $35 lighter. That's what that is. The spirit of discernment comes so that you can understand the word of God. I always tell you, Jesus spoke in parables for what reason? To explain something to the people that they could not understand by using something what? that they could understand and relate to. And what Jesus did through the use of parables is what the Holy Spirit does today through enlightenment. By opening, that's what the scripture is talking about, opening the eyes of your understanding. If you understand that, that's why it doesn't matter the level or quality of your preacher. You can get to heaven with a poor, broke down preacher. You can make it. Your preacher ain't got to be pristine. Your preacher ain't got to be a highly, no. If all he can do is put together three or four verses, you make it. Because his job is simply to what? Throw the word out. It is the Holy Spirit's job and yours to receive and what? Understand. The Bible says what? And all you're getting what? You get an understanding. Your job after I preach is say, Holy Spirit, give me. Help me. Everybody else was shouting. I wasn't. Why? What am I missing? What am I not seeing or hearing in the word of God? Jesus says it here. He tells to the crowd, it's not what's outside that defiles you, it's what comes out. And then what does he say? He says it famously throughout his teaching. He says what? He that has an ear. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying he that has a spiritual ear, let him hear, let him receive and apply what I am saying. The implication being that what? Not everyone has a what? Not everyone has an ability to discern the things of God. That's why he was free to speak in parables. Because those that didn't love him and didn't believe he was the Messiah, they wouldn't get it anyway. Good. It was never for them. You know what I tell people who always got something to say about the word of God and don't believe him? I'm not finished yet. Don't believe him. Don't trust him. You know what I tell them? Stop reading other people's mail. This is not for you. Stop reading it. Stop trying to quote it. Stop trying to tell me what it. It was never written to you. This word is for those that love Christ Jesus and long for his appearing. That's who this letter is written to. That's who this book is for. Right? You got everybody giving a comment about it, talking, and they can't receive it because what? It was never written for them. Their heart is continually wicked. Their heart has never been regenerated by Christ. Sins never forgiven. Wickedness never washed away. Holy Spirit has no residence in their heart. So the only thing they can do is follow the tradition of men. That's all they can do. They couldn't do any better if they wanted to. Say they first, the Bible said if anyone comes to God, they must first what? Believe that he is. Otherwise, all of this is foolishness. And they're more concerned. Here's the punchline. I'm way out of time. They're more concerned about unwashed hands. Jesus said that stuff don't even matter anyway. He says no matter what you eat, the way I have designed and caused your body to function, it is going to be eliminated anyway. Now watch this. Let somebody in the church say what?
Don't it come out?
Right? It comes out. Right? So it's not what goes in that gets pushed out later. That doesn't defile you. What Jesus wanted the Pharisees and scribes to understand, the crowd, his own disciples, is not what goes in a man that defiles you, but what defiles you is what comes out of a man. And if all of this wickedness proceeds out of a man, it is a sign that their heart has not been regenerated. And is still working on that continual cycle of wickedness. It's there in Genesis. It's here in the New Testament. There in Revelation. Be there in the tribute. It hasn't been broken. The only thing that can break it, the only one who can stop it, is Christ Jesus the Lord. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, let me skip over this. I'm way out of time. Here it is. I'm done. So this is it. Bad food might make you sick, but it can't make you spiritually unclean. We are not defiled by foods we eat, but by the words and actions which we do, which proceed from our hearts. The Pharisees, like many today, were concerned with looking good on the outside, their human traditions, while wickedness resided in their hearts. Here it is. Here's the punchline. Get this one. Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Nobody can tell you off like Jesus. Jesus tell you off and you shout about it. Oh my goodness. I mean, he just laid these brothers down. He said, you are like sepulchre, you are like tombstones on the outside. I wish I had Joshua's here. They were in the farmer's market with us. His company owns it, and that's what they sell is tombstones. And he had his video, his website, of all of these beautiful capstones and tombstones. And they'll sell you a, what do they put the dead bodies in? They sell you the coffin and casket and all the styles you can get on. And they all look beautiful and they look wonderful. You spend, it costs you a, don't die. Let me tell you this. If you don't get anything from your pastor. Listen to me. Don't die. You're gonna be dead and still paying for your own funeral. Your children paying for your grandkids. Because it costs a lot of money to bury somebody. Can I get a witness anywhere? He said, that's what you're like. You're a lot of money on the outside. He said, but inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Decay, depravity, destruction, rottenness. That's what you are. That's what he's doing. That's what you are. And you have bewitched this generation. Right? Because you went away from the things of God. Woe be unto you. Woe be unto you if you are a Pharisee. Woe be unto you if you follow the teachings of a Pharisee. Those who teach anything except the Word of God. Unfiltered, unaltered. Do you follow what I'm saying? Here they are. They're concerned more about unwashed hands when they were about their unwashed and unclean hearts. Let's be sure not to make the same mistake as the scribes and Pharisees and follow the traditions of men more than we do the Word of God and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Here, let me give you this so you can tell folks at work tomorrow I did preach. Here it is. Psalms 24, 3 and 5 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Get this. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall, that person shall, receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The Psalmist 51 and 10, Lord, create in me. What a wonderful prayer. If you don't know how to pray and you stumble, you get on your knees and for 10 minutes you don't know what to say, repeat Psalms 51 and 10. If you don't say anything, just say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. You just do that, Lord. I don't need anything else. I don't want, just create and let, oh my God, David said it right. Not give me, not God. He said, it has to be created by you. This is not something I can do for myself or by myself, but I need you, Lord, to create it in me. And I need you to, once you create it, I need you every day to renew a right spirit. That's what the songs of Zion, that's what the word of God, that's what faithful prayer does. It renews a right spirit. That's why we assemble ourselves together. Why? Because when we come together, what? It renews a right spirit in us. Can I get a witness? Here it is. The Beatitude says it this way. Blessed, get it, are the pure in heart. This is out of your Bible. For look what the promise is. They shall see God. Right? The pure in heart. Not those with clean hands only, but those with a pure heart. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says this, having therefore these precious promises, dearly beloved, here it is, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of our God. Finally, the Philippian writer tells us 4:8, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, any goodness, anything of moral high standard, he said what? Think on these things. Why? Because what? They renew a right spirit. Right? And the more that spirit can get renewed, more of that spirit can get revived, what? Then we begin to say and do according to the word of God. So the question for the awaiting congregation today, are you more concerned about unwashed hands or your unwashed heart? And if you recognize that you got a heart problem, so glad you came today. You thought it was a church, but the reality is it's a hospital. And there is a surgeon on call. And his name is Jesus. He died so that his blood, look at somebody and say, I need a blood transfusion. When I was in the hospital, they almost didn't let me out. They said, before you're getting better, they said, but your stuff is still low. Before we let you out, we got to give you a second blood transfusion. They wouldn't let me go. Said, see, you got to stay another. You're going to give you the transfusion, then we're going to watch you for 12 hours to see if your blood levels come up. Right? How many of you know that God, through his son Christ Jesus, I wish I had a real church, is the only one able to give us a blood transfusion. Wash away our sins. Purify and clean our unwashed heart. His name is Christ Jesus. He's the only one qualified by God to redeem our hearts. Today, as we all stand, Lord, help us ponder the question, not only given to the Pharisees and the scribes from Jerusalem, but given to every man, woman, and child under the sound of my voice. Are you more concerned about unwashed hands than you are about your unwashed heart? I'm telling you, if you're concerned about your heart condition, the psalmist has already given us the prayer. Lord, create in me today a clean heart. Today, Lord, begin the renewal process in me. Renew my mind, my thoughts, my imaginations, all of it. Lord, just begin to renew it by and with your spirit. Cause me to think on these things. These things. Things that are holy. Things that are pure. Things that are of a good report. You ever know why the rumor mill is always working? Anybody ever know why the rumor mill never stops, never runs out of gas, never runs low, never is off for a weekend? Why? Because people love bad reports. They love it. She did what? He got caught doing what? Oh, you know, so-and-so just got a raise on a job. Oh, yeah? Well, whatever. Ain't no bother me. I don't get no money out of it. Ain't doing nothing to me. So-and-so just got reported. You know, they did an article on the news. I don't even read the paper anymore. Whatever. They don't like good news. That doesn't do nothing to them. But if you give a hint that something is wrong or has gone wrong or is about to go wrong, right? I hope that is none of us. Turn the rumor mill off. Folks start talking bad. Never mind. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. Why? Because I have a good image of them. I think good things about them. Why would I allow you to corrupt my... Not only do I think good things about them, get this. So does God. And the witness is what? I know he does because what? He sent his son. So many Christians believe that God sent their son to die for them and them only. Everybody else is not only going to hell, but they deserve to go there. I wish I had a real church. One of the hardest things to get produced in a body of Christ in a local church is a love for sinners. Now, I faked out many of you. Many of you are going to think it was going to be a love for each other. That's the second hardest thing. The first hardest thing is a love for, that's why churches over time become insulated, insular. They just look in, never look out, never look at those hurting on the corner. Literally, they'll walk by those on the corner to come into the house and lift up holy hands. How is lifting up your holy hands going to help me when I'm hungry? It's not. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I'm sorry I didn't preach you up, and I'm sorry you're not moonwalking up and down the aisles. But there's a serious question posed to us by the Master ourselves. Will you and I be disciples and follow him? Or will we be Pharisees and follow the tradition of men? Father in heaven, we thank you for the clear and concise word of God. We thank you for recording these episodes, these stories, these parables from the life and ministry of your son, Jesus Christ, that they benefit not only the people of his time and his day, but how years and years and years later, they benefit us even more. Help us to learn. Help us to understand. Help our lives to be perfected, not according to the tradition of men, but to be matured and become complete according to the word of God. This is our prayer. We ask it humbly in the name of your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. 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 For those of you who are watching, either in the sanctuary or online, and you have heard the word and something is being stirred up in you and you are not saved, just repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that His shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me for my sins today. Amen. Amen. That's how you can get the relationship going with the Lord. And for those of you who have received the Lord, received salvation, or still have questions, please reach out to us. You can call the church's phone number, 215-748-4578. Leave a message for the ministers, the leadership. We will call you back. If you need prayer, we will do the same. Also, you can visit the church's website at www.taylortabernacle.com. And then you would hit the contact button, leave an email message for us, and we will reach out to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. With that, I'm going to move to the next part of our service. Our Mistress Kennedy is going to come up because it is offering time. Amen. Amen. So Kennedy can come on up. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text the code Taylor 61 to the phone number 732-56, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, P.A. 19139. Venmo, Taylor Tabernacle 6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary, today you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One for your tithes/offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. Amen. I want to continue with our announcements. One question, is the Interfaith Philadelphia going to come up first? Okay. Well, let me, I'll go through our announcements and I'll read the Interfaith thing last. But our November announcements. First and foremost, the pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us today. Either for those of you who are in the sanctuary, and there is a good number, or for those of you who are joining via YouTube and Facebook. Amen. And you know, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Continue to join us every Sunday. You are receiving a good word. And do what the pastor said. The word that he has given, go look at it for yourself. Amen. Amen. And please continue to enjoy us. To join us. I'm sorry, not enjoy us, but join us. Enjoy is a legal term. When you decide to join us in person, make sure you take your temperature. If you've got any symptoms or anything, if you're having any kind of sickness, illness, please just stay home. Watch us online. Amen. Amen. They keep saying how things are going to get a little worse with COVID and flu during the winter season. Amen. So if you need to stay at home, that's fine. Just tune in. All right. What is coming up on Tuesday? It is election day. All right? We are the United States of America. We are a democracy. Vote. That's what makes us a democracy. We have all have the opportunity to participate and vote. And one thing, and I know times have been changing, a lot of people take it for granted. Never forget this. There are people who have died, been beat up, stomped on, put in the hospital, and suffered just so you could vote. And all you got to do is go and pull a lever. It's valuable. No one would try to stop you from voting if it doesn't matter. So exercise your rights as citizens of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, wherever you are in the tri-state area, or wherever you're watching. Amen? Amen. Also, for the month of November, we are going to continue to have Bible study and a prayer service on Wednesday nights, right? And we will continue to have our Sunday services. And now the one last announcement that I mentioned a moment ago is the Interfaith. I'm going to read a flyer. Interfaith Philadelphia Pathways Trail Launch Day, which is today. We're proud to partner with Interfaith Philadelphia on the Pathways Trail, a digital guide to the rich cultures, faith, traditions, and communities of West and Southwest Philadelphia. Come learn more and connect with us at the upcoming launch, which is on Sunday, November 6th. That would be today. From 2:30 to 4:30, 425 South 61st Street. And then Pathways to Launch Day, Pathways Trail Launch Day. Taylor Tabernacle and Turning the Tide are proud to partner with Interfaith Philadelphia on the Pathways Trail. So first was just a general announcement, but more particular, here, we are part of this. Amen? The digital guide to the rich cultures, faith, and traditions, right? So, 2:30 to 4:30 in the garden, which is right out back at Turning the Tide. And our address is 425 South 61st Street. So we'll be in the rear of the building. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you have any further questions, if you're here, I think I saw Sister Jemay around. You can see her. If you're not here, you can pick up the phone. Amen? 215-748-4578. Pick up the phone. Amen? Amen. Amen. I believe that concludes our announcements. I was going to see if the pastor is ready for the benediction. I do not. Oh, we are. Okay. Amen.
Shall we all stand?
Thank God it looks like the rain is going to hold on for this afternoon. So glad for the Pathway program and our partnership with Interfaith Philadelphia. I just want to echo what was said about this coming Tuesday. Please exercise your right to vote because your vote counts, because your vote matters. So let's do what we have historically been kept from doing, but we are able to do so now. So please remember on this Tuesday to make sure you vote. Amen. If all minds are clear, let us look to the Lord, our Father in heaven. Thank you for another Lord's Day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this, your beloved people. Thank you for every home represented here, every family represented here. We ask that you would go with us and stand by us. Fight for us. Stand up strong in the believer's heart each and every day. This is our prayer, and we love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Taylor.